Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Friday, September 6th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams, and this is, we're going to do a little bit of a different format here, but let me start out by reading a tweet from Callie Means. This is one of the people who was recently interviewed by Tucker Carlson about nutrition. It says, remember the Tufts Food Compass that said Lucky Charms are healthier than beef? The study's author, Dariush Mozafarian, is now being paid directly by Ozempic prescribers and is educating Congress that injections for kids are the road to healthy eating. So this is how insane it's becoming in America now, where it's no longer about teaching kids to eat healthier. It's about promoting all the processed junk foods as the healthiest options. And then when kids get obese, then you inject them with reptile venom peptides. And there's a push underway now by the makers of these reptile venom drugs. They're based on peptides from the Gila monster reptile, of course. These are called GLP-1 drugs. There's a big push to have the United States government pay for mass injections of children with these reptile venom peptides and to call it a pathway to health or, quote, success in treating obesity. This is from the Tufts University. That's T-U-F-T-S, Tufts University. And there, these people are now briefing members of Congress to push this. It's going to cost something like $10,000 per year per patient, and they want to mass inject children with this. Now, you know that since the 1990s, we've seen kids across America mass medicated with psychiatric drugs and antidepressants. And of course, you've seen the school shootings and the suicide rates go through the roof. You've also seen children that are prescribed gender bender chemicals or chemical castration drugs as part of the whole LGBT movement. Again, preying on kids in order to push an anti-human transgenderism agenda that is transhumanism by its very nature. And now a big push is on to inject children with literal reptile venom peptides, which attack the vagus nerve and cause thyroid cancer at an incredible pace, and also cause all kinds of other long-term nerve damage, because these are poisons. These are poisons that attack the vagus nerve, and through that, they make people so afflicted that they don't feel like eating. And then this can result in weight loss. Yes, you can lose weight by poisoning yourself. And the FDA approves it. And this is the next big pharma scam. This is probably going to be much bigger than the opioid scam, which claimed that, everybody needs your pain treated with more and more opioids. No, they're not addictive. Here, have more. Of course, they were wildly addictive. And now we're going to be told that all children, they don't have a food problem. They're just lacking, reptile venom peptide injections. And then that'll make them healthy. How do we know they're healthy? Because we define health as a body fat or a body weight ratio. So this is the latest insanity by the medical establishment. Now, there's more to this. As you know, there's a big spiritual war that's underway against our world and also against our children. And as you may know, I've been teaching Bible sermons as well. I've now recorded 40 sermons. Oh, actually 41 now at this point, 41 sermons. So my goal is to do 100 in 100 days. So far, I haven't missed a day. So that's 41 in 41 days so far. And one of the themes that I see throughout the Bible is this horrific murder and abuse of children. So especially in the Old Testament, when humanity, every time these cities or tribes, even ancient Israelite tribes, when they turned against God, they would always go in the direction of LGBT. They would become perverts and groomers and homosexuals and pedophiles. And this is widely documented in the Bible. In fact, I've got a sermon. I think I'll even play this sermon today. I'm covering the book of Judges. So those of you who know Judges, especially the last couple of chapters, you know what I'm talking about. There were men in the Old Testament who wanted to rape other men. And when they couldn't, they would rape to death the concubines, or they would traffic in children. They would capture young girls. And then they would slaughter entire cities, killing all the women and children. I mean, it was such a horrific collection of scenes of humankind turning against God. And that theme now emerges in modern medicine. So this sacrifice of children, this injection of lizard venom, I mean, reptilian venom peptides into children, this strikes me as so similar to the people in the Old Testament, the ancient Israelites for the most part, but also, you know, the Canaanites and the Babylonians and lots of other groups. They would sacrifice their children as a form of abortion. And they would sacrifice their children to Moloch, i.e. Satan. And because they were engaged in just mass sexual deviant activity, mass fornication and orgies and just humping everything in sight, so there were a lot of pregnancies. And every time they had a baby they didn't want, they would sacrifice the baby to Moloch. This was a very common practice. You know, 2,000 plus years ago, 3,000 years ago, all the books of the Old Testament in that time period, this was going on. It's not mentioned in every book of the Old Testament, but it's mentioned in many of them. So children have been being murdered for as long as human beings have been alive, obviously. But now the murder of children has just become more sophisticated. Now the murder of children is carried out by the pharmaceutical industry, which itself, in my view, serves Satan. So Moloch, or Moloch, depending on how you pronounce it or spell it, is now Big Pharma. And parents can take like morning after pills, or would-be parents, you know, they can, abortion drugs is what I'm referring to, that's made by Big Pharma. So that's a sacrifice to Moloch in the form of a pill. They can have abortions done, which is part of the medical establishment, to murder a child in the womb. They can poison their children with antidepressant drugs, psychiatric medications, or they can poison their children with reptile venom, another form of sacrifice to Moloch. And they can poison their children with vaccines, causing autism. And then, many of you know this, and I'm sorry that the topic today is so intense, but there's more. The vaccines are made from aborted fetal tissue, cell lines, ingredients like WI-38. Now, there's a website called openvaers.com. And VAERS is spelled V-A-E-R-S. It stands for Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. So openvaers.com, there's a resource there called Vaccine Excipients. And if you go to Vaccine Excipients, and this is a really great site, by the way, that lists all of the vaccine ingredients as well as excipients and cell lines. So MRC5 is shown there. This is made up of fibroblasts isolated from the lung tissue derived from a white male 14-week-old embryo. In other words, an aborted young baby boy. Okay, an aborted baby boy became MRC5, which is kept alive and cloned, grown in vats, and used in vaccines across the vaccine industry. I think this is one of the ingredients that's in many of the COVID shots, and then this is injected into other children. So it's not an exaggeration to say that the vaccine industry and the abortion industry, they work together, they go hand in hand, and they essentially grind up the tissue of aborted dead babies, and then they clone the tissue and inject it into other children. So this is a form of medical cannibalism. They're taking the tissue of some children who are aborted, who are murdered, taking that tissue and then growing it out and then injecting it into other children. So they're feeding some children to other children. WI38 is a diploid human cell line of fibroblasts derived from the lung tissue of a 3-month gestation female fetus. So this is a murdered young female, a baby girl. So they took the baby girl, they cut her open, took her lung tissues, and then they grow the lung tissues out, and then they grind those up and inject them into other children. Then there's HEK293, isolated from the kidney of another aborted human baby. And there are other things, Vero cells derived from African green monkey kidneys and so on. Now, so we live in a society today, just to summarize where we are so far, where instead of in the Old Testament, where they would sacrifice children to Moloch, parents now sacrifice their children to the vaccine industry, which is the modern day version of Moloch. So Satan has just become more technological. So now children are made autistic by being injected with vaccines that are made in part from the ground up tissue of other murdered children. This is ritualistic sacrifice to Satan, disguised as immunization. That's what this is. When a person vaccinates a child, it's the same as turning them over to be sacrificed by Moloch. It's the same. It's just a modern version of that. And the satanic ritualistic cannibalism practices of feeding essentially the blood of dead, murdered children to new children, this is a satanic claim through the blood of murder to lay claim to new children so that they are now claimed to be owned by Satan. So think about it. You're injecting the cell lines, i.e. the blood or the flesh of a murdered child who was ritualistically murdered in the name of Satanism, and then you're taking that and injecting it into your child. So whereas baptism, which is washing away the sins so that a child or an adult, whoever's being baptized, may be cleansed, spiritually cleansed, to be ready to embrace God and to be recognized by God, the injection of children with essentially, let's say, satanic cell lines is an anti-baptism. This is a contamination of the blood of the child with the ritualistic satanic sacrifice practice from other dead children. So it's the opposite of baptism. And this is one of the ways that Satan claims domain over so many children today, is through the vaccine industry. The vaccine industry is anti-human. It is almost entirely satanic. And that's why it's moved into mRNA injections, which are a blasphemy to God's genetic code for human beings. It's designed to take over the body's cells, to hijack them, and to force the ribosomes in human cells to churn out like little factories non-human or demonic proteins, or you could say alien proteins that are non-human, and to flood the blood with these non-human proteins. And then this is called immunization. But it's not immunization. It is a contamination of the blood. So in Leviticus, one of the sermons that I've taught says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. It means that life is actually found in the blood. And so it's no surprise that the satanically driven pharmaceutical industry and the abortion industry, the vaccine industry, they focus on contamination of the blood as a way to contaminate people and keep them isolated from purification in the presence of God. Do you understand that what's happening at multiple levels here? This is a biochemical war. It's a spiritual war. It's a satanic claiming of human beings. And of course, the deception of all of this is that you're told that, oh, this is all for the health of the child. Just like we're now being told that injecting them with reptile venom peptides is also for the health of the child. None of this is for the health of the child. It's all for the ritualistic satanic sacrifice of the child. Now, this same kind of sacrifice, like I said earlier, took place over thousands of years throughout human history. It's mentioned prominently in the Old Testament. And I mentioned the book of Judges. I have recorded a special sermon about this that we're going to get to. A couple other points to cover first. One is that in the book of Judges, the children and the women and children and men were slaughtered in certain towns when they turned against God. And there were wars among the different tribes of the Israelites. One of the tribes that produced the perverted sodomizers, you know, the gay rapists, was the tribe of Benjamin. And yeah, seriously, yeah, it was the tribe of Benjamin, as in Benjamin Netanyahu. There were scenes of mass slaughter, total genocide, carried out against cities or towns or tribes, like one is called Jabesh Gilead, and that's mentioned in Judges chapter 21, where it said, "Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children." And it says, "You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately, that is to only spare the virgins, but to kill everyone else." And again, this is in the context of the various tribes of Israel often warring against each other. And this was in an age when the rule of law had collapsed. And one of the final verses of this book says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." What that means is that every person acted selfishly. Every group acted selfishly. They did not think about long-term planning for the greater good of society. And they were ruled by vengeance, bloodlust, violence, murder, you know, revenge, anger, hatred, all of these things. And also, this book covers the story of one of the judges, Samson, who, of course, ultimately committed suicide to kill thousands of other people who had wronged him and were looking on and sort of mocking his suffering. But that's a different story. The point here is that the mass slaughter and sacrifice of children was always accompanied in the Bible with the economic collapse and the collapse of the rule of law, the collapse of morality in these ancient societies. It was also always accompanied by mass fornication and LGBT themes, such as gay sex or gay rapes or gang rapes of concubines, which is something we'll cover in today's sermon, again, right out of the Old Testament, the book of Judges. So anytime that you see these signs happening together, when the children are being poisoned with reptile venom, okay, and when there are mass abortions, when there's a ritualistic, you know, harvesting of children's organs for the vaccine industry, and you're seeing LGBT flags everywhere, and you're seeing mass promotion of transgenders as your authorities in government, the people who rule over you in the Biden administration are cross-dressing perverts and groomers, and some of them are no doubt pedophiles. These are all signs of the end of your civilization. These are signs of the collapse. And these signs are not new. That's my point. These signs are not new. There were transgenders and cross-dressers in the Bible. there were child traffickers in the Bible. In fact, there's some child trafficking mentioned in the book of Judges and in other books, some of which I've covered previously. So there were pedophiles and groomers and traffickers and all kinds of horrible things. But this always accompanied societies that had turned away from God. So when they rejected the lessons of God, they sort of naturally moved into Satanism. And then the proliferation of Satanism became different versions of insane perversion, transgenderism, child mutilations, child sacrifice, child abortions, child murder. And the only thing that's changed over, you know, 3,000 plus years, the only thing that's changed is that this same process has just become labeled differently. Now it's called immunization. Now it's called vaccines. Now it's called science. Now it's called, you know, progressivism or tolerance. But nothing has really changed. It's all the same cycles of the rise and fall of civilizations. These are the same signs that were mentioned in the book of Judges that were signs of the fall of the tribes. Now, when each kingdom fell, then the people suffering from the collapse, with all of the lawlessness, the violence, the economic collapse, the moral collapse, the war, the mass famine, pestilence, and death of their men and their children and their women, every time that happened, what did they do? They repented, and they begged God for forgiveness, and they begged God to come back into their lives. Save us, dear Lord, for we have sinned, they would say. After years and years and years of the most insane sinning that you could imagine. You know, the things I've mentioned, child mutilations, child sacrifice, whatever. And then God would forgive them for whatever reason. Like, God has infinite patience, apparently. He would forgive them again and bring them back into the fold of his good graces, and then that society would prosper for a while. And then those people would become wealthy, and they would be blessed, and they would have wonderful food and, you know, healthy families. And for a while, they would be religious. You know, for a while, they would give thanks to God, and they would remember to bless God, to thank God for their blessings, I should say. That's the proper way to say that. They would remember that their food came from God, that their natural medicine came from God, that their very life, their very breath came from God, that the rainfall, the water came from God, that love for one another was an expression of God's love for humanity. They would remember these things for a while. And then they would become too wealthy and they would become apathetic and they would forget that all of this came from God. And pretty soon they would start to think that they alone came up with all of this. Oh, it's our scientists that have invented mRNA. Oh, aren't we wonderful? Let's give each other awards for the best vaccines. And so they would worship mankind and the synthetic versions of God's blessings. Like today, we have processed junk food. It's a faint shadow of real food. It's lacking the nutrients. It's lacking the wholesomeness of real food from God. But it's called food, even though it's not. Not really. And then they manufacture it in different shapes and sizes and flavors and colors artificially all the way around, right? It's not even real. So they have to use fake colors and fake flavors and everything. Same thing in medicine. It's fake medicine. It's not even real. You know, isolated drugs that have horrible side effects. Yeah, it might lower your blood pressure, but it's doing 15 other horrible things to your body and destroying your liver, you know? So when society then thinks that it alone has created all of these amazing things, that it alone has created all of its wealth, then it forgets about God, turns away from God, starts to follow man's law, and then eventually, as the morality fades away, it becomes lawless. Then you have lawlessness in the streets, just like we have in American cities today, massive rampant shoplifting, people just walking in and stealing everything in the stores. Mass violence on the streets, and nobody will do anything about it. Illegal aliens taking over the apartment buildings in Colorado. The police won't do a single thing to stop it. They won't lift a finger. Why? Because America has become the land of lawlessness. America has become, in essence, just like the kingdoms described in Judges. Or some would say America has become Babylon. And Babylon will fall. But America will be judged. And it's important that all of us recognize the similarities. Because what we are about to go through for America, there's nothing new. It's written in the Bible. And even, by the way, the name of the tribe Benjamin, it really does relate to Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a deceptive leader who oversees a nation, the nation of Israel, which is the LGBT capital of the Middle East. It has turned against God. It has embraced transgenderism, pedophilia, child trafficking, and grooming of children. And so in the book of Judges, the tribe of Benjamin was the source of the violent sex predator perverts who were trying to rape a man from another house. It's covered in detail. I think that's in chapter 20, is it? No, 20, I'm sorry, chapter 19. Yeah, it's in chapter 19 of Judges. And then in chapter 20, then there's a war between the tribes, and the tribe of Benjamin is utterly destroyed, which is exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu is leading Israel to today. Benjamin Netanyahu will lead Israel to its near total destruction if he does not change course. So the name is perfectly fitting. It is, by definition, biblical that Benjamin Netanyahu, the king, or you could say the judge over present-day Israel, the kingdom of pedophiles and groomers, of lawlessness, where there is no law because there is no real king, that Benjamin Netanyahu will lead Israel to its destruction, just like what happened in Judges, when the other tribes killed virtually every man, woman, and child in the tribe of Benjamin. They killed them all, except a few that fled to the wilderness. The tribe of Benjamin was beyond decimated. It was exterminated. And it was exterminated by who? By the tribes of Israel. By the other tribes. So in other words, this was ancient Israel laying down the law to one of its own tribes, the tribe of Benjamin, that had turned LGBT, that had turned against God, that was a factory of perverts and sodomites and rapists. Again, this is all right in the Bible. These are not my opinions. This is all written in the Old Testament. These are some of the books that churches don't teach, usually, because it's so gruesome, but it's so relevant to what's happening today. So if you read the book of Judges as a form of prophecy, and if you say, well, maybe it's speaking about modern day Israel, then it almost perfectly parallels Benjamin Netanyahu leading Israel to its moral destruction, followed by a kinetic destruction and an economic destruction. After which, by the way, the tribes of Israel get back together again, and they help the tribe of Benjamin sort of recover, and then the tribe of Benjamin returns back to the good graces of God. And, you know, once it turns back to God, then things are okay. But the destruction of the tribe is exactly where Netanyahu is leading the nation. So I understand we have several themes here today. We have the Israel theme I'm talking about. We also have the satanic ritualistic death cult that has become modern day pharmaceuticals in the vaccine industry. But these themes are not unrelated. These are, you know, fractal renditions or microcosms of the same overall theme of a satanic attack on humanity. Now, I want to play a video for you, and I'm going to warn you that this video is not, it's not visually graphic, but it is spiritually devastating. It's rather short. It's 4 minutes. The video it might bring you to tears. I don't know. The video is called It's Okay. And it was released by an organization called Choice 42, which is a pro-life organization. And this video gives you a short tour of the babies, the aborted babies who were murdered, slaughtered, and had their organs harvested for the vaccine industry. And I want to play this video for you here because it's so important. But I will warn you, be prepared to cry. Be prepared to shed tears for humanity when you watch this video. Let me just give credit to the organization here. It's called choice42.com. And I was not familiar with this organization until I became aware of this video. This video is incredibly powerful. It's very well done. And I'm going to help spread the word on this. And by the way, I think choice42.com would be an excellent organization to support financially. And I, for one, intend to donate to them and also to help promote their videos. This is really important for humanity. So with that said, here it is, 4 minutes. It's called It's Okay. Here we go.
That's me. I'm Ellie. Don't feel bad. It's okay. It was a long time ago. 1962. I just thought maybe you don't know about me. My parents didn't want me anyway. The doctors worked with scientists, and they took my organs out as soon as I was aborted. It had to be done right away because the organs need to be fresh. It's okay. It wasn't just me. There were 32 of us. They sent our organs to the United States for the experiments. It was my lung they ended up using. Fetal cell line WI38. 38 because that's how much experiments they did on us. Fetal cell lines are used for all kinds of things, like vaccines. Mine was used to make MMR. You probably gave that one to your baby. I was one of the first fetal cell lines, but there's lots more from lots more babies. It's okay. I just thought maybe you haven't heard of us.
Hello, I'm David. I was killed a few years after Ellie. It's okay. The doctor said my mom had psychiatric reasons to not want me. My lung made MRC5. Five because it took five babies. Perhaps you had my shots? Rabies, polio, chickenpox.
HEC-293 came from me. I'm Joanna. Did you hear about me? They used my cell line just now for the COVID vaccines. HEC, human embryonic kidney. But I wasn't an embryo. I was 3 months gestation. It's okay. No one knows how many babies it took for HEC-293, but there was 293 experiments, so it was a lot of babies. And no pain medication. That would ruin the cells. It's okay.
I'm Jordan.
They used my cell line to help with the COVID vaccines as well.
Percy-6. They took my eyes.
It's okay.
I'm Beau.
In 2015, China tried something new for me and 8 other babies. It's called water bag abortion. To keep us alive as long as possible so the organs will be fresh. My lung made the Wovax 2 cell line. I'm not going to be the last one, though. There's going to be more after me.
And me.
And me.
And me.
And me.
It's okay.
We just thought you ought to know.
Experiments were being performed on near-term alive aborted babies who were not even afforded the mercy of anesthetic as they writhed and cried in agony. And when their usefulness had expired, they were executed and discarded as garbage.
It's okay.
All right. I know that's emotionally very impactful. At least it was for me. It's just unbelievable what's being done in the name of vaccines, in the name of medicine, in the name of science, that human babies are effectively tortured and organ harvested, sacrificed ritualistically. What you are watching with the vaccine industry is 100% satanic. This is the modern day rendition of Moloch. This is Luciferian at every level. There is nothing good in the vaccine industry that helps children. It destroys their lives. It makes them autistic. It harvests their organs and it taints their blood. It marks them for satanic ownership and possession. That's what the vaccine industry does. And now you know the bigger story. Now you know why they pushed mRNA so aggressively, why they had to make everybody get vaccines. You know why? Because they had to mark everybody for Satan. Now, if you previously took a vaccine, guess what? You can overcome that by turning to God. You can use detoxification methods. You can clean up your blood. You can purify your blood and your spirit. You can beg God for forgiveness. He will forgive you. He forgave the tribe of Benjamin. And you don't have to remain marked by Satan. But for those who don't even know what happened, they don't know that they are the property of Satan. And that is why, by the way, it's one of the reasons why satanic possession or demonic possession is so easily accomplished with these people, because they've already been marked for Satan through the vaccines, you see. It's an opening. Now, these tissues, WI-38 is used in the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines. MRC-5 is used in polio vaccines. Chickenpox, shingles, hepatitis, rabies. Now, what are they doing to the children in Gaza right now? They're injecting them with polio vaccines. 640,000 children. And what cell line did they use? MRC-5, taken from a psychiatric patient mother. A 14-week-old male fetus that had its lung tissue harvested, grown, replicated, and then injected into children living in Gaza today to be marked by Satan. Why do you think Benjamin Netanyahu, the tribe of Benjamin, paused the bombing of Gaza to allow the polio vaccines to be injected into the children of Gaza, the very children that he wishes to exterminate through a campaign of genocide? Why would he back off for 3 days and allow these children to be injected when he wants them dead? The answer is because they're being injected with something that's designed to kill them. WHO approved polio vaccines that are also the mark of Satan. That's why. Just as the tribe of Benjamin preyed upon children and produced perverted LGBT violent sex predators who preyed upon children and women, Benjamin Netanyahu, is harnessing the Luciferian version of modern medicine to commit ritualistic abuse of the children of Gaza. See, folks, the average person can't even fathom the levels, the depths of evil that are at play here in all of this. And even sometimes I have a difficult time explaining it because it's almost so devastating that it's hard to even cover this topic. And I do my best to bring awareness to this, to try to save children from this, to try to save humanity from this. Look, this is a satanic war that's disguised as an immunization program. They claim to be saving children when they are sacrificing children. And it's not just the children in Gaza. It's your children in America or wherever you are living. It's the children in Canada. It's the children in Australia. They're all being claimed by Satan and marked for extermination. It's part of the depopulation transhumanism agenda, with transgenderism as just part of it, to destroy the family and destroy the ability to procreate. You see how it all ties together? It's all the same satanic agenda. Perhaps the most accurate way to describe modern medicine is Antichrist medicine. It is an Antichrist system. And COVID was designed to scare people into the hospitals, people who just had colds or the flu, and then to instantly label them as having COVID, put them on ventilators, put them on remdesivir, murder them, call it a COVID death, get a financial reward for the hospital, up to $500,000 per COVID death that they could generate. And we interviewed people such as attorney Tom Renz, who has a client that testified that as a nurse, she was given an order to exterminate an entire floor of a hospital. They were all designated for slaughter by order of the hospital administrators because the hospital needed revenue, needed more money, and it was going to collect up to $500,000 per COVID death. And what did the hospital administrators insist that everybody had to be to come into the hospital? Vaccinated. Had to be marked by Satan in order to enter the hospital, which is Satan's tabernacle, right? Satan's temple. So think about this, folks. If you go into the Old Testament, if you go into, you go into Leviticus, you go into Deuteronomy. What was God's demand before someone could enter his tabernacle? They had to be pure. They had to be pure of blood. If they were not pure of blood and pure of spirit, they were not allowed to enter his tabernacle. Same thing's true on the satanic side, the Antichrist side, in the medical system today. If you are not marked by Satan with a vaccine, you're not allowed to walk the halls of the satanic death cult headquarters, which is the hospital. That's what it is. The hospitals are temples of death to Satan. And they disguise themselves by having names like, you know, St. Mary's or St. Jude's or Mount Sinai even, or what have you. I mean, they're even citing ancient biblical names as a disguise to cover up the fact that they're actually institutions of satanic death cults. And their job is to slaughter as many human beings as possible. Now, this is my conclusion after studying medicine, nutrition, corruption of the medical system, as well as the Bible. This is my opinion after studying the abortion industry, after studying the vaccine industry, the harvesting of organs from aborted babies to be used in vaccines to mark other children with the blood of the dead. This is the conclusion that I've come to. And it is a regrettable, sad conclusion because it indicates that the war against humanity has proceeded in ways far more devastating than most people thought. That Satan has very nearly succeeded in marking billions of human beings for extermination. Just as Benjamin Netanyahu is marking human beings for extermination in Gaza. And isn't it interesting of the names, Gilead being an ancient city, you know, in the Middle East, in Israel, and Israel being a pioneer in the modern day version of the mRNA jabs that are transhumanism, that are, in my view, satanic in their very nature. Again, this is all connected. These are not coincidences. And then you add to that the symbol of the American Medical Association, the caduceus, the two serpents intertwined around the staff of power. Yeah, that's they're not worshiping Moses, they're worshiping Satan with that symbol, by the way. They're worshiping the serpents. And the serpents of the American Medical Association symbol represent reptilian venom peptides that are now being pushed as weight loss drugs on children. The serpent represents Lucifer, Satan. The serpent is the overriding symbol of Western medicine. And they put these symbols on hospitals. They mark the buildings with Satan's symbols in order to indicate that this is a temple to Satan. It's right in your face. They're not even hiding it. And if you don't believe me, go to the website right now of the American Medical Association. It's ama-assn.org. And what will you see at the very top, the header of the AMA's website? A reptilian serpent encircling in a spiral, a staff. It's right there on their homepage. They're not even hiding it. Their symbol is the serpent, okay? So I realize that some of the things that I've said here today may be new to people, may be shocking to people. Everything that I've shared with you today, I've shared in good faith based on my research, my teaching of Bible sermons, my 20-plus years of investigative journalism into the vaccine industry, into modern medicine. Everything that I've said to you here today is something that I have concluded, in my view, to be true. Obviously, the entire medical establishment will deny these things. Why would they tell you the truth? Their job is to deceive humanity so that they can slaughter humanity. They're not going to tell the truth. Oh, yeah, our hospital is a death center. Come on in. No. They're going to bring you in. They're going to deceive you. They're going to make a lot of money off of treating you and then even more money from killing you. Pediatrician medicine is a money-making scheme to run children through this factory of vaccines and ultimately mass medications and injections to first profit from the body of a child and then to ultimately kill that person as they grow older and then to be rewarded financially for their death. It's a factory system. It's for-profit ritualistic sacrifice of human beings in order to worship the true God of the medical system, their God, who is Satan. They worship Satan. This is why abortionists often have ritualistic satanic, you know, prayer, if you can call it that. They worship Satan before the abortion ritual. They know exactly what they're doing. They're destroying the life of a human being, harvesting the blood and the organs, and they give praise to Satan. Okay, so have no illusions about the depth of the spiritual war that we are in. From the website, choice42.com, Dr. Ian Donald is quoted saying, quote, experiments were being performed on near-term, alive, aborted babies who were not even afforded the mercy of anesthetic as they writhed and cried in agony. And when their usefulness had expired, they were executed and discarded as garbage. That happens every day in America, the land where children are sacrificed to Moloch, and it's called modern medicine. So with that in mind, number one, I'm not going to plug any sponsors today. I just feel like this topic is too devastating. I don't feel it's appropriate, but I will play the sermon. So today's sermon, I'm going to move this up in the queue here. I've recorded some others that we haven't published yet, but I'm going to play the sermon on the book of Judges that speaks to this, okay? So you'll hear about the story of Samson, and you'll hear about the tribe of Benjamin and the genocide, the LGBT themes that dominated that time. And by the time you finish the sermon, you will understand that our Western civilization will fall. We are going to go through a collapse of civilization. All the signs are there. There's no question how this goes. So be prepared for that. It is a certainty. And I don't think it can be stopped or reversed. I don't think so. There will be no interview today as well because of this, the heaviness of this topic, but I will resume interviews for you on Monday. And in the meantime, join me this weekend in praying for America. Pray for the lives of the children who have been murdered in the name of medicine, in the name of the vaccine industry. Pray to God for forgiveness, and pray that those who took part in these ritualistic sacrifices to Satan, pray that they may have the spell of sorcery shattered so that they may come to their senses and denounce their past and embrace God. Otherwise, I don't think we have a future as a human civilization. So join me in prayer this weekend. And thank you for listening. Here's a sermon. God bless you all. God, may God help us all. Without God, we're finished, let me tell you. All right, here's the sermon. Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church, and today we're going to draw parallels between the coming fall of Western civilization in our modern world versus the repeated rise and fall of ancient Hebrew kingdoms as described in the book of Judges. Yes, Judges, I know. It's going to be a little bit gruesome here, but we'll begin at the very end of Judges. The very last verse actually sort of summarizes the situation, both in the Old Testament as well as where we are today with America and Western civilization. It's found in Judges chapter 21. It's the last chapter, verse 25. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And you might translate that into "everyone did what was wrong," because it was right in his own eyes, but it was from a selfish point of view, so it was wrong for the betterment of society. But if you look at that quote, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." What that means is that there was no rule of law. Rationality was collapsing in this time. The rule of law had collapsed. The Israelites, who were supposed to be the selected ones, selected by God to rise up and be better human beings, instead they began to resemble the Canaanites. And in that, they wrote their own laws and followed man's law instead of God's law, and they became obsessed with greed and selfishness, violence, fornication, rape, conquering, all the things that define evil in human civilizations. And as revealed in the book of Judges, each civilization rose and then fell as it turned away from God. So we're talking about this cycle of the rise of new, young, you could call it nations or cities or civilizations. In this case, it was ancient Israelite kingdoms with their own judges who were actually really, chieftains or warlords in some cases. The term judge doesn't mean they were associated with a court. They were the rulers. They were the sort of the fiefdom mini kings, or sometimes they were called kings. And they were in charge of their little kingdoms. And one by one, they turned away from God. They abandoned rationality and the rule of law. Importantly, they also turned to sexual perversion, sodomy, things that we would consider today to be LGBT themes, mass rape, and other things along those lines. And then one by one, they were destroyed. They were destroyed because they turned from God and they forgot about God's laws. And then, of course, after the destruction, the surviving people, they repent for their sins and they beg God to save them. And sure enough, God saves them again and again. And then they give thanks to God for saving them. And then, sure enough, the very next page, they're worshiping false idols again. Or, you know, murdering children or whatever, all the horrible things that are in this chapter. Now, the reason I think this is very important for us to look at right now is because, well, a couple things. The book of Judges includes the story of Samson. So Samson is one of the ancient Israelite, well, kings or judges who I believe he ruled for about 20 years or so. And he's the one who's famous for bringing down the temple and killing thousands of people as they were trying to kill him. He committed suicide, but brought down, well, it wasn't just a temple. It was an arena. It was an event viewing location, like a stadium, you could say. He brought down this small stadium by destroying the support pillars. And he was a very strong man, extremely strong. And he had demonstrated great feats of strength, but he had also turned to a lot of evil, and he had been imprisoned, and his eyes had been plucked out, I believe. He was blinded. Anyway, his last act was to commit mass suicide and to kill hundreds of other people with him, if not thousands. I think the number was something like 3,000. And those were the Philistines that he killed. So this action is even referred to today in terms of modern Israel. It's called the Samson option. And in modern day geopolitics, Israel possesses a large supply of illegal nuclear weapons, which were provided by the United States of America, but Israel's possession of these weapons is not acknowledged officially by the United States because it violates the exporting of nuclear weapons to Israel violates U.S. law. So if it were officially acknowledged, then somebody would have to be prosecuted and go to jail because it would violate nuclear non-proliferation treaties that are in existence. And also, the United States has laws that prevent it from exporting weapons of war to countries that are engaged in violations of humanitarian principles. So that could also become an issue if that were known. But the point is that Israel possesses these nuclear weapons. And it is said in the modern day that if Israel were suffering an existential threat, and if it thought that it was going to be, let's say, completely overrun and destroyed by invading armies, I mean, who knows, maybe the Turks at some point. I mean, this is not a prediction. I'm just saying, the Samson option describes Israel's ability to launch nuclear weapons and kill millions of people in surrounding cities and surrounding nations, even as Israel itself is overrun and destroyed. That's called the Samson option, and that refers to the judge, Samson, that's mentioned in the book of Judges. So understand that there are multiple layers of metaphors at work here, because Samson had become, incredibly evil at one point. But when he was imprisoned, he rediscovered his relationship with God, and you know, he rededicated himself to God, and he got his God's strength back, which he had lost previously. And this may be some of what's happening with Israel today, where Israel, under its current leadership, Netanyahu, is engaged in some very evil, sinister acts, which are very similar to what's described in the later chapters of Judges, by the way. And yet maybe Israel will turn back to God like Samson did and beg God for forgiveness. But if it doesn't, then Israel is on a path right now in the modern day. It's suffering economic destruction because of the war and the fact that its ports are not functioning because of the Red Sea, you know, the threat by the Yemeni military against the ships in the Red Sea. And so investors and manufacturing companies, even Intel, microchips, they're all pulling out of Israel. Tourism has collapsed. The hotel industry obviously has collapsed. And even Israel's credit rating is being downgraded by companies like Fitch. So Israel is suffering an economic collapse that is truly biblical. And this follows Israel's leadership and their turn to evil to carry out genocide and destruction of the Palestinian children and women. And so, again, this is very, very similar to Judges, let's see, chapter 20 also, and chapter 19. And I'm going to read for you a little bit of that so that you get an idea of what I'm talking about. But, you know, this is an ancient cycle of evil and then economic destruction, or having your city burned down, and then repentance, begging God for forgiveness, and then being forgiven by God, and then restoring abundance and having a very successful nation. And then people get apathetic and everything's too easy and they have too much in terms of riches and so on. And then they turn against God again and they all become perverted. And, you know, pretty soon it's all transgenderism and gay sex parties. And then guess what? The whole cycle repeats itself as your economy collapses and crime goes crazy. And so my point is that this isn't even about Israel, actually, this sermon. This is about the United States, that the United States of America is following this path that is described in the book of Judges, a path of destruction that was kind of a curse for many of these various so-called judges or kings or tribal leaders in ancient Israel. And they're covered in this book, Judges, Ehud, Gideon, and Samson, and some others. So I'd like to read a few passages for you, just with the warning that some of this gets quite graphic. There are some horrific things that happen, and these are included in the book of Judges, because, well, this is a warning for humanity. This is a warning. Don't go down this path of lawlessness and LGBT themes. Don't be preoccupied with sex and sodomy and just mass fornication and pedophilia and child trafficking and violence and war. If you're obsessed with these things, your civilization will be destroyed. And what are we seeing in America today? We're seeing our civilization destroyed. It is crumbling, just like ancient Israel, or just like ancient Jerusalem. And when we read some of this from the book of Judges, you'll see what I mean. I just want to warn you, this is somewhat graphic, even in the Old Testament language here, or the New King James Version translation is what I'm reading. So Judges chapter 19. Where's the verse? Here it is, verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, and by the way, they're talking about gay sex guys, okay, like gay sex predators. You'll find out. Surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." See, they wanted, these men wanted to rape and sodomize this man in the house. Verse 23, but the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, not my brethren. I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage." And then, verse 24, he does something that many of us would consider quite shocking. Verse 24, "Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please, he says. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. He's basically saying, here, you can rape my virgin daughter and the man's concubine, but just don't rape the man. Like, this is how graphic and crazy this gets. Now, doesn't this sound like drag queen story time in a liberal city in America today? Yes, it does. Very similar. Verse 25, but the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. In other words, they sexually assaulted her and raped her and so on. And when the day began to break, they let her go. So why would the man of the house even agree to this? Because he had no other choice. Because the perverted, you know, rapey men who were beating on the door, there was no other way to make them go away. They were vile and violent, or threatening to be violent, and they were demanding these things. So verse 26, then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up and let us be going. But there was no answer. She had been raped to death by these perverted men because, again, this is a lawless country at this point, a lawless place. And this is what the ancient Israelites did over and over and over again. This is one of the many times they broke their covenant with God, by the way. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, and I'm just warning you, this is graphic, okay? If you've never read this part before. He took his knife, laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. Special package delivery. Yeah, here's an arm, you know, here's a leg. Oh my God. And so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. In other words, they were outraged. Consider it, confer, and speak up. The people are outraged, absolutely outraged. And then Judges chapter 20 says, so all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, that's how you pronounce it, as well as from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And again, I apologize if my pronunciations of these names are not correct or traditional. I'm doing the best I can, given the language here. And sometimes I disagree with mainstream pronunciations. Verse 2, and the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. 400,000 soldiers. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, tell us, how did this wicked deed happen? So you can see, right, the community is getting extremely angry at the fact that this woman was raped to death. I don't know why Gibeah, who is the husband, decided that he was going to chop her into 12 pieces, but he tries to explain it in verse 4. So the husband of the murdered woman, he tries to answer that question here about why he chopped this woman into 12 pieces. So this is verse 4 of chapter 20. So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, my concubine and I went into Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravished my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel, because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel here and now. So he chopped her up and sent her out in order to raise awareness and outrage about the act that had happened. Okay. Verse 8, so all the people arose as one man, saying, none of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot, meaning we will decimate the people of Gibeah. And they talk about that. We will take 10 men out of every 100, and we'll take 1,000 out of every 10,000, and so on. That when they come to Gibeah in Benjamin, they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered around the city, united together as one man. Now, guess what happens next? So the men of Israel demand the rounding up and mass murder of all the perverts in the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? This is all in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Okay, verse 12. Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now, therefore, deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. You see? They're like, you got to let us kill the perverts and the rapists and all the evil people, right? But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin, this means the citizens of Benjamin, gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. So now we have a war here. We have like a tribe-on-tribe war. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. So here we have 26,700 men. Verse 16, among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, you may wonder, why were they left-handed? What does left-handedness have to do with the sling? Well, when you're in ancient battle formations with swords and shields, you have to be right-handed because you're working with other right-handed people. And the way that the shields hold up, you have to be right-handed. Your sword goes in your right hand, your shield goes in your left hand, okay? So if you can't work your sword with your right hand, then you can't be part of that sword shield group. So then they made you into a sling thrower. So that's what this is saying. So they had, 700 left-handed sling throwers. Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. So you can see this is shaping up to be a massive war that began with basically gay perverts wanting to, you know, anally rape a man. And now it has escalated into this. Then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah first. Send Judah. So this battle takes place, and for the first couple of days, Israel loses something like 25,000 men per day. And then I think on the third day or so, they figure out that they're going to lead the men of Benjamin out of their defensive configuration and set an ambush for them. And in fact, they do that. They set the ambush, and then the soldiers of Israel utterly decimate and defeat the soldiers of Benjamin. Now, once they defeated all of the soldiers of Benjamin, then the men of Israel, the soldiers of Israel, they rushed into the city of Gibeah. And here we get to verse 37. And the men in ambush quickly rushed upon Gibeah. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now, the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now, Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, Surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, for they saw that disaster had come upon them. Therefore, they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. In other words, they fled. They fled into the forest or the wilderness. But before battle overtook them, and whoever came out of the cities, they destroyed in their midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Gibeah toward the east. And 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, and these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. And they cut down 5,000 of them on the highways and so on and so forth. And then this chapter ends with the following, verse 48. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword. From every city, men and beasts, all who were found, they also set fire to all the cities they came to. Now, in this case, I think the word children means children, because they slayed everything. It says all who were found. So this was an ethnic cleansing of Benjamin and all those who were part of the tribe of Benjamin. Because Benjamin was a city that was producing these predatory, rapists and perverts, violent sex offenders, basically, which led to this entire conflict. Now, the ethnic cleansing continues because, of course, there was a lot of anger, a lot of wrath in those days. And again, they did not have King David yet. They did not have a leader who could bring them together and enforce some rule of law. It was a lawless time, a lawless land. And so everybody was just doing whatever. I mean, they had the judges, kind of the chieftains, but they were out of control. And in fact, in chapter 21 of Judges, I'm going to skip around a little bit here, but essentially the people built an altar and they said, well, this one tribe hasn't shown up. Verse 8, what one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And no one had come up to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. So the congregation sent out there 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately. In other words, kill all the women except the virgins, is what they're saying. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. So they arranged for the men to basically capture young wives, the young women of Shiloh, to be caught while they were dancing as part of their yearly feast festival. And this is like child trafficking, essentially. And then verse 23, and the children of Benjamin did so, talking about the men of Benjamin, they took enough wives for their number from those who danced, whom they caught. Then they went and returned to their inheritance, and they rebuilt the cities and dwelt in them. So the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. And then verse 25, which I began with, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I've intentionally covered really the last chapters of the book of Judges, because these contain, I think, the most important parts, showing that without the rule of law, without an overriding system of morality and ethics, then your civilization, whether it's a city, a tribe, a nation, an empire, your civilization will eventually turn to evil. People will become perverted. You'll have LGBT themes rising up. The children will be trafficked. They'll be raped. The men will be raped by other men. You know, you'll have men and women's restrooms like we have in society today. It's all going to get super perverted, incredibly wicked and evil. And don't forget also at this time that many of the people were offering up their children as sacrifices to Moloch. So they were killing their children as a sacrifice. It was a form of, you know, post-birth abortion in those days. And that's on top of all of the rape and war and ethnic cleansing that was going on. But what this book reminds us is that this same fate awaits America, because America is going down the same path. And so is Canada, so is the UK, all of Western civilization, Australia, even New Zealand, it's all going down the same path. It's a path of lawlessness, defunding police, letting violent criminals onto the streets. It's a path of mass fornication without consequence. It's a path of mass abortions, of essentially child sacrifice. It's a path of a loss of rationality and reason, of violence and crime, lawlessness galore. And when this happens, your nation shall fall. And then at some point, the nation will beg God for forgiveness. We are not yet at that point in America. There's a lot more falling yet to come. A lot more sin will yet emerge. But the outcome of this is not in doubt. The United States of America and Western civilization as we know it will be destroyed. Well, it's destroying itself. So it will implode. And there will be mass suffering and mass death. This will be a horrific fall from grace because America turned from God. America turned from God and became worshipers of abortion, worshipers of illegality, violent crime, illegal aliens crossing the border. America has turned to lawlessness and deception, fake news in the media, fake propaganda, just lying. The government constantly lies about all the statistics. Oh, there's no inflation. Oh, jobs growth was amazing. Yeah, yeah. But it's all just lies. And then, of course, the government is involved in war, because war becomes the refuge of the deceivers who want to distract their own people with conflict and death. So they start wars. They provoke wars. And then that's where we are right now. That's what we're seeing. And only by the grace of God shall we avoid escalation of these current wars involving, you know, Ukraine and Russia, Israel versus Iran, potentially, and Taiwan versus China. And there are other possible wars as well. But this is the path that America is on. If we do not change our direction, if we do not repent for the sins of our nation, if we do not turn back to God and ask for his forgiveness, then our nation shall be decimated, just like Benjamin. It shall be utterly decimated. The economy will be decimated. The people will be destroyed. All the gifts of civilization will vanish. And the land that was once known as America will become desolate. This is the outcome that awaits America if the nation does not turn away from Satanism and embrace God in the lives of the people. And remember that LGBT themes are also anti-family. So it's all about destroying the family, destroying the ability to reproduce, eliminating reason and rationality, perversion, child grooming, and pedophilia. Many of the transgender members, especially in the LGBT groups, they are pedophiles. And these are the kind of people that are, in essence, mentioned in the book of Judges, the kind of people that the Israelites went and demanded to be killed from Benjamin, from the tribe of Benjamin. And were the Israelites actually carried that out. And they did. They murdered them all. And then they also went and killed the people of Jabesh Gilead as well. Killed all those people. So this is the kind of thing that repeats one way or another throughout history. These cycles of perversion, collapse, Satanism, evil, and then war. And along with war comes pestilence and famine. And that's going to happen as well. Count on it. For the United States of America and Western civilization today, we are about to be plunged into a cycle of war, famine, and pestilence that is a result of all of the pedophilia, child grooming, the drag queen story time, the whole LGBT takeover of society, which destroys the viability of your civilization. These all go hand in hand. You cannot have a sustainable civilization when LGBT is in charge of everything and all your rulers are LGBT people. And you have all transgenders in the government ruling over you like tyrannical authoritarians while in their own private bedrooms, you know, they're grooming children or they're pedophiles or traffickers or, you know, sodomizers or whatever they're doing to each other. These are all signs of the end of civilization. And that's exactly where we are going in our civilization today. When you see the LGBT rainbow flags put up in a city or a corporate logo or wherever, those are signs of the collapse of your civilization. That's what that means. And the LGBT flag has perverted the rainbow, which is originally the sign of God and his blessings. It has been perverted and hijacked by Satanism to claim domain over earth with the LGBT flag. So everywhere they put up those flags means they are destroying your civilization and claiming domain in the name of Satanism. That's what the LGBT flag means. And in those cities, when they paint the LGBT flags on the crosswalks and the streets, they are claiming satanic control over the infrastructure of the city. They are claiming those cities for Satan. You'll be able to even see it from satellite. You can see the giant satanic flags painted on the roads from satellite. You think God doesn't see that? He does. So those cities shall be judged harshly when God's wrath is fully experienced. And yes, that day is coming. Lastly, I would point out that the LGBT movement openly endorses the mutilation of children, which, of course, is a satanic ritualistic practice that was also carried out in the Old Testament. The sacrificing of children, the mutilation of children. Obviously, God frowned upon that, and God punished those societies that engaged in that kind of activity. In the eyes of God, and I would say in most normal people, mutilating children is very evil. It's incredibly sinister. It's more sinister than, you know, just mutilating, I guess, consenting adults. I mean, tricking children into having their organs cut off, to slice off their reproductive organs before they are even of the age of consent, is a special kind of spiritual crime against children. And that's what's being carried out in the LGBT community every single day in America, in the UK, and other Western nations. That kind of thing does not happen in Russia or China or Turkey or Iran. You know, I'm talking about Western nations that are going to be brought to their knees as the wrath of God is unleashed against them. So it's mutilating children, it's trafficking children, it is aborting babies, and all of this has been done before. It's in the book of Judges, it's in other books in the Bible as well, and every time it happened, that civilization collapsed. So do not be surprised at what's happening today with the collapse of our Western civilization, because it is It is spiritual cause and effect. And I hope you'll join me in embracing a return to the teachings of Christ, a return to inviting God into our lives. And it may be too late for this current nation, but it's never too late for humanity and whatever comes next. It's never too late to embrace the teachings of Christ and to invite God back into your life. It's never too late. And indeed, there will be a new civilization that rises out of the ashes of this current one after its collapse. And in that new civilization, we the people shall demand obedience to God. Because it's only from that that we will experience his blessings and actually rebuild society and human civilization and rebuild abundance and joy, health, and happiness. And take back the future of our world from those satanic, demonic forces that have desperately tried to destroy it. They will burn in hell, but we will live in God's presence with heaven on earth as we embrace God and reject the sinister presence of satanic forces that rule the world of LGBT and child mutilations and child trafficking. We reject that, we're going to be okay. So pray to God today. Pray for those children. Pray for them to be spared. Pray for the wisdom of humanity to be awakened. And pray for mercy from God for our nation, if it is even possible, so that he may not totally destroy this world in his wrath and in his judgment against those who have repeatedly sinned against him. And just possibly, we'll all make it through this. But that's my sermon for today. I know it's hard-hitting. This is not fun and games today. These are serious topics. These are serious times. And everything is at stake here for eternity. Your soul is at stake. Make the right choices in alignment with God, and you will thank yourself, literally, for eternity. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Check out more of our sermons at abundance.church. Take care.